over you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda and I have my wonderful co-host this month, Bobby Heath, on the line. How are you doing, Bobby? Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. I'm great.
How was your week? What's happening?
Well, I am going to be packing this afternoon to head to Maine to teach, to go to a wedding on Saturday, and then teach a plein air workshop. Got to make lobster dinner for everyone first. And as soon as that's over, I'm driving to Castine for the Castine Plein Air Festival.
Wow. How wonderful. Good for you. That sounds fantastic. Well, it's been, I don't know why summer is so busy. It's just kind of crazy. I'm finished some commissions for a neighbor up near our beach house, and then I did another painting for Deck My Room. I don't know if you saw the post I did on Facebook about that amazing organization.
I did. Yeah, that's super.
A need came up for I remember it was a 6-year-old little boy going in for cancer treatment, and his room was going to be done in a Mickey Mouse and animals decor. So I did a painting for him and got that shipped off on Monday. And they did the room set up yesterday, which I believe means he must be checking in today. But the fact that after they're done with their treatment, which is like 2 to 3 weeks, they get to take everything home from their little room decoration makes me so happy. It's just an amazing organization that there's all these volunteers, and the fact that I could do a little tiny part makes me really happy.
That really is happy. So cool.
Yeah. So, on my Facebook page, I mentioned this. If you are interested in maybe getting involved and finding out if there is a chapter in your area, please leave a comment, because the gal who I'm working with is actually a sorority sister of mine, and we haven't seen each other since college, but we've started working together in the last couple of months over this. I read about what she was doing on Facebook and said, hey, can I help? And it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to do. And the turnaround time is short, because often these poor children don't know, you know, way in advance that they need to go in and start this treatment. So, but it is so worth it to clear your day and know that you can make something that's going to make a poor child smile. So I'm going to cry if I don't be careful. But I did that on Monday and got that shipped out on Monday. So I've just been really busy painting. And I finally got the final approval on the big, big paintings I've been working on for 2 months. And we'll be getting those delivered early next week. So that makes me happy, because they are taking, I mean, they're 6 feet by 9 feet. They're taking up so much space in my studio, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
They're crazy. I've never painted that large. So it's been a fun week, very fun week. But, no, I think, I do have a marketing boot camp coming up in Cape Cod in September, and there's just a couple spots left, and I wanted to mention that because I think it's the best thing I do currently, and it's really been fun. And Bobby and I had the chance to experience that earlier, and we had a great time. It was really fun. Really fun.
And, you know, I said this last time, but that was just the best thing that I did last year, and I am still putting into practice the things that I learned there. I'll talk a little bit about that actually at the end of this, because I did redo my blog mm-hmm. based on what I learned in the boot camp and what I learned that we'll tell you about in this show. But
yeah.
if you can go to Leslie's boot camp, you owe it yourself to go.
Well, it's fun. It's all about, as an artist, kind of rethinking who you are and who you want to be and who you want to sell your art to, and then really, really getting into defining that and then figuring out, okay, here's who this group of people is. Now, how do I find them and how do I reach out to them? And I have learned personally myself so much with this whole experience I'm doing with my 100-year-old home. It's so fun to be able to share so many things. And I don't know, it's really fun. And I rented a home in Cape Cod on the water. It's this gorgeous, big, you know, typical Cape Cod home. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. Gotta love Airbnb.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
I know. It's going to be wonderful. So I'm very excited. But as you all know, we've had many aha shows before about blogging, and we've talked about, you know, the usefulness of blogs and marketing and selling your art and even how to make your blog better. And to this show today is a little bit of a refresh, but we have two goals for this show. The first is to explore what we can learn from the content of the current most widely read art blogs, and also learning about the approaches these artists take to their blogs. And once again, Bobby gets the credit for putting this show together. I am going to write one, I promise, this month. But apparently, and I didn't know this, Bobby, and I'm impressed that you figured this out, but feedspot.com regularly updates their best painting blogs list from their index using search and social metrics. And who are they? FeedSpot's one of the makers of the RSS readers, which allow you to read all of your blog reading from one location. And their list includes the top 75 blogs. So we've taken their latest list. It included only blogs that are written by artists and only those where the artists show their work. Not that the others that are like companies or groups aren't well worth reading, but for the purposes of this show, they really didn't match the criteria we were looking for. And I do know we had to leave one out due to technical difficulties. Did you hear back from the blogger when you contacted him and said, hey, your blog doesn't work?
I did. And here's the interesting thing. That painter told me that the person that does their website is out of town and won't be able to fix it for a week. Now,
two comments
on that. Well, actually, only one, because the other one isn't relevant to this one. But that just shows you how important it is to be able to do your own blog and not be relying on someone else to help you.
So true. So true. Yeah, and did she even know?
No, I don't think she realized. And the issue was that you could go to the blog and you could read the first sentence of each blog post, but when you click the read more, it took you back to the home page. And so you couldn't see the whole text of the blog.
That's weird, because that's something that you do within each individual blog post. That's very strange.
Well,
'cause I do that on mine. Huh.
The home page shows a very nice, interesting home page.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be part of the problem, the technology on the home page.
Got it.
She did seem to agree with me. I mean, she didn't, because I asked her, you know, am I doing something wrong? Is there some way that I can actually see the blog post? And she didn't tell me that I was doing something wrong. She seemed to agree that it actually was not working in the manner that I thought it was not working.
Right. Of course. Well, that's too bad. And it just goes to show you that it's really important if you have a blog and a website that technologically everything works, because we couldn't include her on the show, which is too bad. And the link to the list, if you want to look at this for art or whatever purpose, is I'll just give it to you. It's blog.feedspot.com/painting_blogs/. So you can really go to feedspot.com, and I think you'll find it. But, of course, this list changes because it's updated as the, you know, there's more activity on various blogs. But it's just nice that this is available. So thank you for finding this. I appreciate it greatly so.
Well, the way I found it is that one of the blogs a couple of the blogs that I read every day where I'm friends with the painter got the award, and that was how I found out about it and went and looked at the others.
Terrific. Wonderful.
Okay, so let's dig into it. So what's the difference between these blogs and the traditional, here's my latest painting blog post? And I was particularly interested in this because my blog for a long time has been one of those here's my latest painting blogs. And it's been kind of helpful because it was an archive of every finished painting that I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more that you can do, and I think you'll see that the blogs that are at the top of this list are going way beyond this is my latest painting. So in addition, I mean, they do have their own paintings, but they give their opinions on a range of topics, and I really think that's key. For quite a few of these bloggers, there's nothing mealy-mouthed about what they have to say. Now, I love reading that. It's been hard for me to try to write something like that, but I'm working on it. The topics, let me just say, Leslie, you've talked before about the most popular blog post you ever wrote, which was titled, I'm Really Pissed. And I think that's a good example of someone giving an opinion about something. Mm-hmm. And people were very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the topics can be controversial. And on some of the blogs, the topics are often controversial. Now, I haven't seen any of these artists get into politics, though. Thank goodness.
Really? Thank heavens.
The topics are sometimes not art-related, but they're illustrated with art, with paintings and other visuals. We get to learn about art history some of the time. And I wasn't an art major, and so I know I need to learn more art history, and I do find this really interesting. There are tips on how to draw and paint that are being shared. And some of these are very detailed tips. There's examples, there's videos. It's not just a couple of sentences. The struggles of doing the work are shared. There's one of the blog posts that I'll talk about in a few minutes is an example of one particular kind of struggle in the recommended post that we'll talk about. And they also talk about the struggles of life as an artist and as a human being. And, of course, those are very interesting and sometimes can even be somewhat profound. So that's the things that I found in reading through all of these blogs about the actual content.
I love that. Well, there's some interesting approach ideas that we want to share, and that is the fact that all of these blogs are regularly and consistently posted. It's not like they post one time and then 3 months later come back and post another, because that's a tough way to keep your audience, because they don't look forward to something because they don't know if and when it's going to happen. All of the blogs also take or contain good visuals. And it's really important that if you're only featuring your art, you want to make sure those pictures are very clear and that they're well lit from the standpoint that they're not too dark. If you're also using other pictures, maybe you find them from some of the free sites that I refer to, like Unsplash, which is my favorite. You want to make sure that you use a filter, if necessary, to lighten and brighten them up, because a big killer is a dark, drab, dreary photo on a blog post, especially if it's your art. Another thing is that the fact that they aren't just all visuals. On my everyday life of a working artist, I made a decision earlier in the year to not only use the visuals of my paintings, because I thought that was getting a little old for me and probably for everyone that was listening or receiving my blog. So I decided adding some different visuals, and I think it made a lot more fun, because for me it was really fun knowing, having written the blog post, trying to find a photo that I thought kind of applied to that, which I loved. And it's really important that the painting visuals are not all painted by the author. Credit and reference is given to other painters. So don't just, use your own art, use somebody else's art. It just makes it more interesting. There are most often multiple visuals in a blog post, not just one, which is really important. That works well, of course, if you're doing a blog post that shows how you painted a painting, so you can use step by step. A combination of humor and seriousness. And I, you know, I try to be funny on my blog post, Bobby, and sometimes I'm just not sure if I am.
Yeah, no, I think you are.
But I try. But you can't be funny all the time and you can't be serious all the time. So a combination of the two is really important because people need to know that you're genuine and that you're serious, but also being lighthearted and funny. And a lot of times being lighthearted and funny is just telling the truth. That's what I find. Don't sugarcoat everything. Don't make everything look so perfect. I mean, I love on my blog for my 100 Drilled Home yesterday, I had done a talked about this big photo shoot I did of my house over the weekend, and I showed a picture, and then I showed the next picture of where I took the camera and moved it over about 5 feet, and there was just all this stuff just crammed out of the photo.
Yes.
And it was like, just so you know, it doesn't look like this everywhere. But it's kind of nice to give a little reality check every once in a while. Another thing is related posts are offered. So if you're talking about something that's real pertinent, don't be shy about including information that pertains to other places where people can learn more. I will caution you, don't always send people away from your blog because we go through so much effort to try to get people to come to our blogs. Be careful about constantly sending them away, but don't always just keep everything within your knowledge because I think you make it more interesting. And sharing other people's information is a really good thing, so it's very important. Okay, the blog posts are posted on Facebook, and at least one of the authors thinks this is where most of the readers find the post. I completely agree. If you write a blog post and then feature it on Facebook and I'm going to say Instagram, that will often be where you get most of your followers. And people, I think, forget that. But there are some of the best blogs out there that people don't know about. Because if you're not following that person's blog post, how would you know if it's not mentioned on social media? So it's really important to share the fact that you have a blog and what you're talking about. The blog posts attract questions as well as comments. And you need to make sure when you write a blog post that you ask questions. At the end of your blog post, I think one of the smartest things you can do is ask a question because then it gets people thinking and interacting and maybe gives them a reason to leave a comment. And the more activity you have on your blog, the more you're going to show up in search engine optimization and just the more interactive it's going to be. And when people go to a blog and there's no comments or when people go to a blog and there's 52 comments, you can imagine it's a lot more interesting because a lot of times people love to read the comments. So it's really important that you do that and that you respond to the comments. So don't just ignore them. You need to realize that that's part of the process of having a blog is that people leave comments, you need to respond. And then, of course, really important is you can sign up and have the blog posts emailed. All of these blog posts can be added to an RSS reader, though some of them will appear as excerpts. But I know with Bobby, it took her about 15 minutes to put the blogs below into Feedly on your iPad, and now you have them, which is a great place to go, and you can skip the email delay, which is nice. But it's a little complicated to get that sign up, but you need to consider, and we're going to talk about this month, but you need to use something like MailChimp or Constant Contact that gives you the ability to have that feature where if someone signs up to follow your blog, automatically, every time you post a blog, it will get sent out to your list of followers. And it's just some extra steps, and it's so important that you do that because there's no way you could do that manually. You wouldn't want to. It's not worth it. And then now for some specifics, these are currently most widely read artist blogs according to FeedSpot. We're going to give the blog name, the author's name, where they live, the description of the blog, the average posting frequency, and our thoughts on the blog, and an interesting recent post. And so we're going to start at the top of the list.
Okay, so the first artist blog on the list is Gurney Journey, and this is James Gurney's blog. James Gurney lives in New York, and this is what he says about his blog. This daily weblog by Dinotopia creator James Gurney is for illustrators, plein air painters, sketchers, comic artists, animators, art students, and writers. James Gurney wrote Color and Light, A Guide for the Realist Painter. And as an aside, I have that, and it's a great book. He also wrote and illustrated Dinotopia, A Land Apart from Time. Now, I think one of the reasons that this blog is at the top of the list is he posts on the average 7 times per week. And the posts are all very interesting. There's art history. There's new art-related technology, which I really love. He has wonderful demos and videos. He talks about other artists. It's very engaging, really interesting, and informative. A recent post that really tickled my fancy was called Jamie Wyeth's Box. And it's about how Jamie Wyeth, who doesn't like to talk to people when he's painting, kneeled inside of a 4-foot-high, 7-foot-long, 3-sided wooden bait box on Monhegan to paint what he could see out of the open side so that nobody would know he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's amazing that that's the number one, you know.
It's not a surprise.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, the next one is called Watch Me Paint by Carol Douglas. She's from Rockport, Maine. Carol Douglas is a plein air painter, landscape, and figure painter. She teaches out of her Rockport, Maine studio. She's taught in Maine, New Mexico, New York, and shown in galleries all across the United States. The frequency of her posts would be 5 posts per week, which is amazing. Last fall, Carol drove across Canada from west to east and chronicled the journey with paintings in her blog. She isn't shy about saying what she means, giving her opinion, providing criticism and hope on various social issues, and teaching us a little art history along the way, which I love. And do you know Carol?
Yes, I paint with Carol frequently, and we've gone on several painting trips together. I know how hard she works on this blog. It's the first thing that she does every morning, every weekday morning, and she literally does it every weekday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I really find it very interesting and instructive.
My favorite post, and it's the exact same one that you liked, is called How to Critique Work and Still Have Friends. And I love the fact she talks about the sandwich rule in her class, where they begin by pointing out something the person did well, and then they discuss the problem of the painting, and they finish by pointing out something else the person did well, which I think is such a cute idea when you call it the sandwich rule. And I know people think, oh, it's too fluffy, but she said that it's just a great way of, especially with students, kind of broaching how to critique a painting, and yet still every painting has wonderful quality. So I love that. I thought that was really nice the way she stated that.
Yeah, it's a good post.
And how do you know how much time she spends on her?
It depends, but I would say that it's usually at least an hour.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
I mean, it's time-consuming to write this kind of post.
Mm-hmm.
So next is Painting Portrait Tips by Ben Lustenauer. Ben is a Dutchman who lives in Spain, and this is what he says about his blog. In Painting Portrait Tips, Ben Lustenauer tells us about his techniques, methods, and flesh colors. Also, you will find video tutorials on how to paint a portrait. He does about one of these a week. He has, obviously, portrait painting tips, lessons, opinions. There's a couple of posts that I thought were really interesting. One was portraits of children, and he discussed how to handle a meltdown in the subject child. I also love the one where he showed his studio. Very interesting. Straightforward guy.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's great. Okay, the next one is, it's Mark, is it D'Alessio, do you think? Is that right? Probably. I think that's how you.
did we skipped a couple.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mitchell.
Mitchell Albala.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mitchell Albala. And his blog post is blog.mitchalbala.com/blog. And Mitchell Albala's semi-abstract and atmospheric landscapes have been exhibited nationally and in Seattle at Harris Harvey Gallery. His painting blog serves as a companion to his book, which is called Landscape Painting, Essential Concepts and Techniques for Plein Air and Studio Practice. It's a national bestseller, which is amazing. And it has landscape theory, painting techniques and materials, and advice on art life. And his recent posts, it's so funny. I went to this post because of the title. It's called Why I Dumped Thalo Blue and Started Dating Her Less Intense Cousin. And Mitch has an expanded primaries palette. There's just, because I use a limited palette, and I have phthalo, and I have that phthalo there because it's that color that gives you that sky color and that watercolor that you just can't mix with the other colors I have on my palette. And so he compares ultramarine, which is kind of a cool blue, to phthalo, which is more of a warm blue. And he says that it, you know, he, as much as he likes the phthalo, that the ultramarine is kind of a good idea, but there's an other colors called, there's one Mediterranean blue from Daniel Smith and azure blue, and he says he likes those a little bit better. So they're potent but not as crazy as phthalo, and they're not going to overpower your palette like phthalo can do. So I love the title, and that's the reason why I first went to that post. And then when I read that that's the one that you would like too, I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, yeah, I was attracted by the title as well. But phthalo blue is my favorite color. And he did have one suggestion in there for those of us who can't do without it, which is when you put it on your palette, mix a little white in. So that it's really obvious what it is, because, you know, when the phthalo blue and the ultramarine are sitting next to each other and there's nothing mixed in them, it is kind of hard to tell them apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love that. His posts are very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you've used phthalo, you totally understand what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing about phthalo that cracks me up, it's the color, because I use it a lot, that managed to get on everything. It doesn't happen with ultramarine. It doesn't happen with any other color. But I find phthalo in places in my house that I'm just shocked.
Yeah, I know.
And I started graying it down a little bit on my palette because it is so intense that sometimes I look at the painting and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking? So I think naturally I have a tendency to gray it down now because I'm not painting quite as bright as I used to. So it's kind of cool.
Yes, very. Okay,
yeah.
The next one on our list is Rob Adams, a painter's blog. And I apologize that I have not been giving the URLs, but this one is treeshark.com/treeblog. So tree, like T-R-E-E, shark.com/treeblog. Rob now lives in Dorset, England. He used to live in London. And he describes his blog as showing his paintings as they are done. He posts about once a week, but Rob's posts have like 10 paintings in them. He's got oil and watercolor paintings, pen and ink drawings, lino cuts, and opinions on everything in the art world, often with satire and humor. And he's British, so sometimes you have to read it carefully to catch the satire, but they're fantastic. I met Rob on a painting trip to France some years ago, and I've actually gone on two of these trips that he's been on, and I've been following him ever since. He often seems to come up with a topic that's something that I've been thinking about, so I think he's really got his fingers on the pulse of what's going on in artists' heads.
Mm-hmm.
A recent interesting post that he did, his most recent one, is about painting holidays. And he talks about how not to psych yourself out when you're going on this trip that you've been planning for months, you're totally excited about, you know there's going to be all these wonderful things to paint, and then you psych yourself out and, you know, you get there and you start making a mess, which certainly happened to me on the last one of those that I was on. The posts also have lovely paintings and pen and inks drawings, especially in this one. So it's a beautiful one to introduce you to his blog.
Wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Okay, the next one is Mark D'Alessio, and his name is spelled a little bit different, MarkDAlessio.com, and he lives in Zagreb, Croatia. I've been there. Okay, so Mark is a plein air landscape, a naturalist painter, and a portrait painter currently living in Zagreb, Croatia. He posts about once a week, but he has beautiful landscape paintings, time-lapse videos, and tips. And I know, Bobby, you really liked a post called Larger Plein Air Paintings. And there's some amazing, amazing paintings he's showing there on France. But I'm going to talk about another post called Apps for Landscape Painters. I'm not really a plein air painter, but some of these are so cool. He has a lot of weather apps that he uses. And I think these are all pretty much available on an Android, and I think there's equivalents in the Apple Store too. But the weather app, just to give, you know, gives them an idea to know what the weather's going to be doing. And there's another one called Meteo Earth, M-E-T-E-O. It has cool little animations which show you wind direction, cloud cover, and precipitation for the coming days. And he really likes the windy prediction because, as we all know, painting plein air when it's really windy is really hard to do, especially if you're at the beach.
Yep.
Sun prediction is really, really important. So he likes Sunseeker. And it uses your camera. You can overlay the sun's path through your view. I mean, how cool is that? So where
yeah.
you are, you're painting, use the app with Sunseeker, and it's going to tell you at what time and where the sun's going to be.
Use that one all the time.
Okay, because I hadn't heard of it, and I thought that is just so cool. I'm so impressed with that. And he has, he said there's, he's got some maps that they have an app, and what did he say? His favorite paper maps of Tuscany are made by an Austrian company called Compass with a K, and some of his favorite painting spots were found using their maps. And I guess they have an app now, which is super cool. And I'm just so kind of blown away, but it's K-O-M-P-A-S-S. And then there's one called My Trails. And then another map he likes, app is called Kumoot, K-O-M-O-O-T, and it has navigation instructions for hiking and mountain biking, and it does a good job of knowing actual trails in the areas around Florence, which sounds so cool.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
let's
I might
go
need
there.
These because I can now officially say it. My son signed a contract to play professional volleyball in France. And he's leaving in September, and of course I've decided he's going to be there probably until May, which is how long the season lasts, and I'm going to go visit him 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have to, don't you think?
You bet.
And how fun would it be to use some of these apps going all over the countryside of France? Oh, I'm just so excited.
Yes. Sounds wonderful.
He has Lapse It Pro for making time lapses, which is cool, on his phone. He's got some plant identification apps like PlantNet and Whose Leaf Is It? And he also installed an emergency room map for Italy and Wilderness First Aid, but he's lucky he hasn't had to use them, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah.
So he is a really interesting guy, and I love that post because there's so many wonderful things that you can use when you're painting plein air just on your phone. So, very cool.
Yes, it is. All right, next we have How to Pastel, and that's Gail Sibley's blog. She lives in Victoria, British Columbia in Canada, and it's on howtopastel.com. And she's one of the people who has her blog as the homepage of her website. There were
mm-hmm.
several people on this list who did that,
right.
which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
her description is, my love of pastel and the enjoyment I received from teaching about pastel inspired the creation of this website. On it, I want to offer not only my own workshops, both on and offline, but also tips and reviews and opinions and all manner of information regarding pastels, their use, and pastels done through the years, old and new. She posts about once a week, and as you can tell, this is about pastel paintings and instruction in pastel painting. The recent post that attracted me the most when I looked at it was artist interviews from IAPS. So what she did was to put together a bunch of questions, and at the last International Association of Pastel Societies meetings, she was able to get artists that we've all heard of to answer these questions, and they're answered in short video clips, like 1 or 2 minutes. And so she's asked a number of people how to paint more loosely. And I was really pleased to hear, of course, now I can't remember who said it, but Handel saying, before you can paint loose, you have to do a good job of painting tight. And I thought, oh, wow, maybe there's some hope for me yet. But these are really interesting because each one of them is short, and so, you know, it doesn't take very long to get the gist. And even if you're not interested in pastel, I think you might find this post particularly interesting.
Hmm. That's awesome. Wonderful. Okay, the next blog is Carol Marine's Painting a Day. As you know, Carol Marine's been on the show as a guest and also a host many times. I'm in a mentoring group with her, and I love her. She's in Oregon, and her web address is Carol Marine, carolmarine.blogspot.com. And it's an about blog. It's an oil painting blog, Painting a Day by Carol Marine. Her frequency is about 3 days a week. She's got paintings and tips. She's a painter, teacher, and an author of an amazing book called Daily Painting, Paint Small and Often to Become a More Creative, Productive, and Successful Artist. And that book is available on Amazon. I have 2 copies, one of them signed, which I love. Now, her blog, there's so many things about it that I like, but there's one post that we want to mention. It's called The Patient Husband. And when she was in France this summer, she took a photo that she wanted to use as an inspiration, but she wanted to change some things because it was just a little too complex. So before she started, she opened the photo in Photoshop and created a layer on top. And she said, imagine it's like a clear sheet of plastic over a photo. That's what a layer is. And then she used the paintbrush tool and colored in new stuff where she wanted it. And if you look on her post, she shows you the before and after. And mostly what she did, she lightened and simplified the background, and she also simplified the store items in the foreground. And even when it comes to the painting, she even simplified it more. But that is such an important tool to be able to do when you get back in your studio and you've got this painting and it's a great inspiration, this picture that you've taken, but there's just too much going on and sometimes it's hard to see what to paint. Well, you can do this in Photoshop. The thing that I like the most about her blog is the fact that she very frequently includes a picture of her inspiration photo. And I love it when she does that because then you can see what she was starting with. You can understand some of the decisions that she made and where she went with it. And besides, I just love her style of painting, and I always have. The stories about her workshops are hysterical. They make me laugh. And she just paints a lot of different things. She paints cups and mugs and things, but not all the time. She does a lot more landscape paintings than she used to. And the best thing is she sells pretty much everything she paints, so I love that. Absolutely love that.
I do too. I love her blog. I love her. And I've also got 2 copies of the book, one of them that's signed. And you know, one more thing about the post that you mentioned. In her next post, she talks about one of her fans who wrote in to tell her about a free alternative to Photoshop where you can do the same layers thing called Brushes Redux. So, you know, she just never stops giving great information.
I'm writing that down. I missed that. Brushes?
Redux. R-E-D-U-X, yes.
Oh, R-E-D-U-X.
Have to go look that one up. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So she basically, this is an app, I'm assuming?
It's an app, right.
Oh, cool. That's wonderful.
And the person who told her about it uses it on his iPad, and he says it's
mm-hmm.
more user-friendly than Photoshop, and it's free.
Okay, can I? Everything is more user-friendly than Photoshop. Can I just say that?
Well, yes. I would have to agree with you there.
Yeah, most
okay.
definitely.
Next on our list is a blog called Painting My World by Karen Margulis. And her blog is at KEM Studios, Studios, .blogspot.com. Karen lives in Marietta, Georgia, and she describes her blog as daily pastel paintings by artist and instructor Karen Margulis. She posts 6 times a week. Among the kinds of topics that she covers are pastel paintings, getting started with pastel, inspiration, technique, and supplies. Interestingly, I had dinner last night with a pastelist friend of mine, and I didn't tell her who we were going to talk about today, but she volunteered, my favorite blog is by Karen Margulis. She says, I follow it, and my students read it avidly, and we all love it, and it's because everything Karen says is useful. Now, you can hardly get a better compliment than that.
Yeah. I agree. That's
so
amazing.
A recent post that I thought was interesting, because I do occasionally do pastels, but not very often. The recent post I liked was called Friday Fun, Pick Up a Paintbrush. And this is where she experiments with acrylics and a brush and talks about what you can learn from one medium to apply to your own preferred medium. And this is something that I think the British painters do particularly well. They often paint in more than one medium, and I think it really does make you a stronger painting. So I enjoyed that post.
That's wonderful. Yeah, she's amazing. She really is. Fantastic. Okay, the next one is Robert Joyner, who I think has the most unique, wonderful painting style. I absolutely love it. I guarantee there's probably some people who don't. But it is, how would you describe it? Fluid.
Well, I think it looks like he's painting to some degree with a knife, but I don't think he is.
No, because I can see brush strokes in his.
Yeah.
I can definitely see brush strokes. It's just a very loose, fluid, happy kind of very, very unique style. But his blog is Robert Joyner Artist, R-O-B-E-R-T, J-O-Y-N-E-R, artist.com/blog. And his blog has acrylic painting tutorials for beginner through advanced artists. You can discover hundreds of step-by-step video tutorials designed to teach you how to develop your fundamentals and artistic style by him. He posts about once a week. And there's just this one painting is super cool. And the blog post is called Abstract Still Life Painting with Silverware. And what's interesting about it is he painted over rejects, as he called them. He calls them paintings he didn't like. And he said it adds some arbitrary colors to the piece. And he admits that it's difficult to do and can be very chaotic in the beginning. But he says eventually the new subject will emerge, which is cool. And I just think his style is just super cool. And you know, after he paints, it looks like he takes the end of his brush and kind of scratches some scratches in it too. I don't know if you noticed that. But,
yeah, no, I didn't. I
he uses more of a muted color palette, and it's super loose, but I think it's just so cool. The one painting that says huge interior still life painting, that was one of his blog posts, I just think it's amazing. It's just, it's loose, I think is the best way to describe it. And I just think he sees so well. But in this painting, what's so cool is if you look at the kind of the edges around the silverware pieces, you can see the painting underneath, which brings in some color. So it's really really a good blog. And I can't wait to spend some time on this. This one has really got my attention.
Yes, I agree. Me too. And I have thought about painting over rejects, and I've even seen someone do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really looks like it's totally difficult. But
it depends
result,
how much texture you have, I think. Yeah.
The result that he got with the silverware is just... it's just fantastic. So
it really is.
I'm going to try it, and I'm definitely going to spend some time on his blog because it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Could be amazing.
Okay. So next we have William Schneider, and his blog is at schneiderart.com/blog, and Schneider is S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R-A-R-T, Schneider Art. So he describes his blog this way. William works in oil and pastel. He views figures, landscape, or still life as opportunities to explore the effects of light on form. Painting from life, he seeks to capture the emotion of a particular moment and place. Sargent, Zorn, Fechin, and Sorolla have been his influences. Now, he only posts about once a month. But I found that the painting tips and exercises that he talks about, they come from a process point of view, and they're a little more intellectual, a little more at a higher level. So it's not like something you can do in just a few minutes. The exercises that he suggests are going to take you through days of working on multiple paintings. But I think they sound like they're very worthwhile. This is one that I want to spend a little time with. A recent post that really caught my eye was called Beyond the Study. And in this post, he talks about the difference between a study and a finished painting.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this in more detail. You know, I have never really thought about that carefully enough. And he really gives a good accounting of it and talks about how to create that finished painting instead of just a study.
Hmm.
I thought it was fascinating.
Wow, that's great. Okay, these are all so good, you guys. I hope that you can spend some time looking through because I definitely need to go back. The next one we're going to talk about is David Dunlop's blog. And it's David, D-U-N-L-O-P. And his blog, the address is paintingclass.net/blog. And he calls it, let me look here, it's about seeing art differently with David Dunlop. And his frequency is about one post a week. And he's got instructive posts and innovative paintings. And I know, Bobby, you recently went to an exhibition of his work with a friend, and I'd love for you to share kind of what she explained to you and what you learned about him.
Yes, I had been looking at his work ever since my friend started studying with him. He teaches in Connecticut, and she lives where she can go to a weekly class. She was able to explain how he gets some of his effects. Some of the things he does is he uses computer manipulation of images before he starts.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of replication, and then he uses all sorts of implements to move the paint around. It's very interesting, and he has a pretty broad range of subject matter. Also, on his website, he's got some lecture videos that are really worth watching. He's a very interesting guy.
Wow. Yeah, and he's also super smart.
Yes,
I can mention
absolutely.
That. There's a post called City Perspectives, which, can I be honest and say, I had to read three times. It's about merging linear perspective to atmospheric perspective to kind of get this emotional experience of the viewer. And so he's got this example of like a street view where the linear perspective is bottom right going up to top left, and then he's got the atmospheric perspective going from the right to the – or from the left to the top right. It doesn't make any sense if you don't look this up. It's a post he did on July 5th. But he talks about the fact that just the way it captures your eye and the way that the eye level line kind of descends to a vanishing point on the right, while those below the eye level, you see that you go to another vanishing point, and how there's he has so many paintings that give this example. And he shows the difference between having just the painting of, say, like a street scene, and then what happens when you add figures into it. And it is really informative, and it's one of the best examples I've seen of the power that you can get of combining linear and atmospheric perspectives. And he gets a little critical that landscapes can rely on how important it is to make sure that you do have that happen. And a lot of times it just happens naturally when you're putting a perspective together, but I think it's important to realize when you look at all these different painting examples he has of how effective it can be in kind of capturing and bringing the viewer into your painting more so than normal. So I thought it was really, really interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really good.
And next on our list is Frank Eber. I hope it's Eber. Maybe it's Eber. His blog is called Watercolor Painting is My Refuge, Watercolor Painting is My Life. It's at frankeber.wordpress.com. That's frankeber.wordpress.com. He lives in the U.S., and he talks about his blog as Fine Art in Watercolor Oil and Other Media by Frank Eber. And he actually doesn't restrict himself to watercolor, but it's pretty clearly his favorite. He has instruction illustrated with paintings, commentary on social media. His commentary on social media is quite interesting. He's not a fan. He's a reluctant user, but he's got some interesting things to say. He posts about once a month, and I loved this post he did called Horses! Exclamation point. And it's about learning how to draw horses. And horses are, we have some horse farms near where I live, and I do pull over to the side of the road with my sketch pad and do quick drawings of horses. And I draw, and I do the same with cows. And they, mm-hmm. they're really very, very different. And so I found this post really interesting because he's serious about it and about accurately drawing the horses. But he also says, most of the times the horses are a very small part of the painting. And so you just have to give a suggestion of the horse. And he talks about that. And I found that very, very refreshing and interesting.
That's wonderful. Well, the next painter we're going to talk about is Chong Wang, and his name is not spelled as it sounds. It's spelled Q-I-A-N-G-H-U-A-N-G. And his blog website address is Q-I-A-N-G-H-U-A-N-G.blogspot.com. And if you are not familiar with Chong Wang, you will understand when you see his art how friggin' incredible it is. That's all I can say. It just jumps off the canvas and grabs you every single painting he does. He's an impressionistic representational artist painting still life, landscape, and figurative subjects. On his blog, he posts about 2 posts per week, and he was on the AHA show in January of last year. His blog has paintings and painting tips, and he's got a really interesting post called St. Michael's Exercise 2, and it talks about a new painting discipline he was going to do for a week. And compared to his old daily painting practice, there's 2 major differences. The first is he's painting big, and he says the size of the painting cannot be smaller than 12 by 12, and he's got one he's posted that's a 12 by 24. And the second thing is, do not paint for market. And what that is he writes, the only purpose of these exercises is to simply improve the art. If the painting sells, it's good. If the painting does not sell, it's okay too. And he says, although the painting size is bigger, he still forces himself to finish the painting within a few hours, and he won't touch the painting anymore in the second day. I can't believe he paints these paintings in a few hours. Although you can, if you go to his website and you see this rose painting he has, his brush strokes are put on that canvas with so much intent that you can't go back and muddle them. And I think that's just his style of painting. He's brilliant. I'm sorry. He's absolutely brilliant. No other way to describe him.
The paintings are gorgeous.
Oh, they're breathtaking. Yeah. So he's a great one to follow. A great one to follow.
Okay,
super
next.
Impressive.
Yes. Next we have Michael Chesley Johnson. And his blog is at mcheslejohnson.blogspot.com. So mcheslejohnson.blogspot.com. Michael lives in Sedona, Arizona in the winter and Lubeck, Maine, right up at the Canadian border in the summer. He describes his blog as painter Michael Chesley Johnson explores the world of plein air painting, offering tips, suggestions, research, plus some great paintings. He posts about once a week. His blog has plein air oil and pastel paintings, plein air technique and tips, and he's the author of a jewel of a book that I love called Backpacker Painting, Outdoors with Oil and Pastel, Techniques for the Plein Air Painter. If you are interested in painting outdoors and you haven't done it yet, this is a great book. He talks about both pastel and oils, and it's, you know, I wish I'd gotten it when I first started. I only read it like a year ago, and it's a fantastic book. I've enjoyed painting with Michael at the Castine Plein Air Festival, and I think his blog is a wonderful resource. It's very, very instructive at a somewhat philosophical level. There's plenty of detail in the tips, but he goes a bit higher than that, and it's really interesting. So a recent post that I liked is called Going from Oil Field Sketch to Studio Pastel. Now, I thought this is interesting because a lot of people would do the opposite thing. They would take the pastels out in the field because they're a lot easier to carry, and then they would do a larger oil painting in the studio. And he's done the opposite. And he's got a nice discussion and some video. I think that he must be a tremendous teacher. He has a couple of workshops coming up in Maine. But, you know, just reading his blog and looking at his paintings and talking with him, I think he must be really, really a good instructor.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, you can. You know, you can just tell.
Yeah, you can tell. He knows
you
how
can
to
absolutely
explain
tell.
Things.
That's wonderful. Okay, the last artist that actually we're going to talk about is Karen Jurek. She's been on the show. Her blog can be found at Karen Jurek, which is spelled KarenJurick.blogspot.com. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. And her blog is about the results of the life of a paintaholic by Karen Jurek. And she posts about once a week. Now, Karen was very instrumental in the Painting a Day movement that started many years ago. And she also started something. I think she's the first one that kind of did this style, but I'm not 100% sure. And that's of a person standing in front of a painting, like at a museum, looking at that. I don't know if she was the first one to do it, but she's probably done it the most of any artist I've seen. Would you agree, Bobby? Am I making a...
I think Eileen Coffey did it earlier, but her paintings were not as small as Karen's, and I don't know whether she, you know, continued to do that for the amount of time that Karen has done it.
Got it. Her painting style is so good. And I love her color palette. It's a little bit darker, but it's just so pointed and expressive. And the way she captures people, I mean, there's that one painting called Lend Me Your Ear that was a study of the guy kind of leaning over, looking at the Van Gogh painting. And just, she does a great job. I'm sure she just walks around museums and takes pictures of people looking at paintings. But when we were in... in France and Italy going to museums, all I kept thinking about was Karen Jurek.
Yeah.
And I was so interested in watching the people watching the painting that it she still paints a ton of paintings like that. And she has a blog post called Starstruck. It's a little bit about a very famous painter, Moreau, who's has a spot in my heart because my in-laws had a signed litho by Moreau in their home.
Whoa.
And
nice.
It's actually at my brother-in-law's home. And just a super cool painting and something that I was always so intrigued by. And now that I paint abstract, it's even more so. But it's just a story about the very long life of Moreau and kind of some of the struggles that he did. And he's a classic, you know, kid that got sent off to boarding school and then decided he wanted to be an artist, which, of course, was something his father never wanted him to be. And how he, I don't know, he's just, he was very political. And the painting that she refers here is, according to Moreau, after a hunger-induced hallucination, he began a series of dream paintings exploring surrealism, including what he called enigmatic signs or personages based on real things but in his own form. I mean, she talks about how unique Moreau was, but the picture or the paintings from the Art Institute of Chicago, and it's a woman very closely studying the painting called Personages with Star. And it's just so interesting. And all of her paintings have a story behind it. And when you look at it, you instantly are intrigued. And it kind of takes you into that scene of being in the museum and looking at the person looking at the painting. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I love how she often has what the person is wearing relating to the painting. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how much of that are in she sees when she's in the museum and how much she comes up with, but it's fascinating.
Well, if you look at almost every single one of these, like there's one called Come Across, and the painting kind of has this horizontal thing, and the person has got a horizontal striped shirt on that kind of mimics. There's another one called Chick Music,
mm-hmm.
where the one
mm-hmm.
gal has the red purse and the black and blue dress that completely kind of goes with what's in the painting. So she certainly takes some liberties because I know these people are not going to be dressed as
yeah.
perfectly. But it's really, oh, it's just so good. So, so
they,
good. I love her titles
wonderful.
Too.
And the
yeah.
other thing that I love Karen Jurek for was long ago she used to do this thing at Christmas where she paired up hundreds of artists who didn't know each other to
mm-hmm.
paint
and they
each
painted.
Other's portrait.
Right.
When they didn't know who it was. And I did it once, and it was so fun.
That's wonderful. I never did it, but I've forgotten about that. I remember
yes.
I remember a bunch of artist friends that I know participating in that, which is fantastic.
She's
great
Karen
idea.
Has done a lot for people, for everybody who paints, especially the daily painters. She's
mm-hmm.
really been instrumental in that movement.
And as a person, she's very shy. Very,
yeah.
very shy.
Interesting.
I had to really strong arm her to be on the show. I did, but I wanted her to be on so badly. And she was fantastic. You should go back and listen to it. She was really great. You would never know she was shy. But basically, as a person, she is. And
yeah.
it was just really interesting. Really interesting. But this has been such a motivating show for me to go and look at all these blogs because they're amazing. I mean, they're really cool. Really cool.
They are.
So what have you learned from this today, my dear?
Okay. Well, first, consistency is key.
Mm-hmm.
If I compare the list that that these guys put out at different times, you know, weeks ago, months ago,
mm-hmm.
bloggers go down the list if they slack off for a bit.
Got it.
So the consistency in posting, and I know you've said this millions of times, but that's really important. Blog posts that have instructive content are really popular. And strong opinions on interesting subjects are a draw. And lastly, of course, wonderful artwork is always in style. Now, for myself, I recently changed the content of my blog to try to expand beyond here's my latest painting. And as I said before, some of these blogs really helped me do that. And now that I've looked at more of them, I think they're going to help me more. The other thing is I've been trying, after going to boot camp, I've been trying to differentiate what's in my blog, what I put on Instagram, and what I put on Facebook. Because I personally like to see something different when I'm following a person in those places. I will tend to follow them only in one place if their content is identical.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has really helped me to find, you know, what I want to talk about in my blog, which is really targeted to students, but I'm trying not to leave out the collectors. And I always try to include one of my paintings, and it's not necessarily a new one, but there are other visuals too, and I love to include the work of other artists who've inspired me. I have quite a few posts like that, and I always give a link to where you can find the particular painting I show and more about them. And I like to talk about exhibitions that I've been to or I want to go to and places I visit in the hopes that others will be able to go and enjoy them too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try on Instagram to really focus on paintings, progress shots, hanging paintings, that kind of thing. And, you know, in Facebook, give a more expanded view of what I'm doing that's not totally art-related. So we'll see how that works. People have given me good feedback on the change in the blog.
That's wonderful. Good for you, my dear. I love to hear that. Well, I realized a couple of things. The first is I realized how many good blogs are out there. And I've been kind of in my own little world. And as most of you know, I've been doing this whole thing this year of I've kind of found a whole new, kind of an interior farmhouse style life on Instagram, and I'm so intrigued by the whole thing, and I'm so excited about what's going to happen with all of this in September. I'm so excited. And I have, confession time, totally dropped the ball on my blog, the Everyday Life of a Working Artist. And I don't know why I've done that. I guess I felt like I haven't had as much to say because I've been so involved in my Instagram and my other blog. And I can't do that. It's crazy because I have way more to say than most people.
And it's all good.
Which may be a good thing or not. And this whole experience was kind of a slap in the face for me and a what the heck are you thinking, Leslie? Get back on it. And I did decide to go down from 5 days a week to 3 days a week because 5 days a week was really hard for me. And it just kind of snapped me back in line and made me realize my priorities. So, boy, I'm coming back in full force next week, and I am very excited. I really am. And I've learned so much about blogging with my 100-year-old home and how I have a blog schedule and I have a really great editorial calendar, and why I don't have one for my 100-year-old or for life as an everyday artist makes no sense. It's a lot to do, two Facebook pages, two Instagram accounts, two blogs, working full-time, painting, everything else, but that's okay. I made my bed. I
yep.
can sleep in it. But
you can.
I just need to get a little bit more organized, which is fine, and I'm very excited. So it's kind of incredible how every once in a while you do something like this, and it's just a great wake-up call. And I'm very excited because I've heard from a lot of people, like, where the heck have you been? And I used to rely and learn so much from you every day. Why are you not doing this anymore? And I feel bad, and I'm not going to feel bad anymore because I'm back.
Good. We're all happy about that.
Yes, I know. So shame on me. I realize that's bad. But Bobby, such a great, great, great topic. I'm so glad you shared this, and I can't wait to kind of spend a little bit of time on FeedSpot and look at this because I think it's just super cool. So thank you for making us aware of that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and have a fabulous week.
You too.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.